How good it is that we gather here this evening, this New Year's Eve. Granted, we are not here simply as part of our revelry for this evening. And looking at the news today, they showed how already in places like Australia or places in China, they are celebrating with great fireworks and so on. And I'm sure there are some people in that very chronological perspective think either, oh, it was a great past 2013, so let's have fireworks. But I know there are those that are thinking, I'm glad that year's over, let's start a new year. But is there really much difference when we think about waking up tomorrow? No. So in a chronological sense, we should look back over a year and give thanks to God for the blessings that we've received and also for His love and care, even in times of trial, times of suffering or distress. But what's most important about January 1st for us is a celebration in the spiritual sense of time, not the chronological, what we call the kairotic. It's the spiritual term from the Greek kairos, so God's time. Today we celebrate the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. Really, this brings to a close our celebration of Christmas, that Christmas is celebrated for 8 days, an octave. And so this last 8th day, January 1st, is given to honoring our Blessed Mother under that title, Mother of God. To be clear, we honor Mary because she is the mother of our Savior. She conceived by the Holy Spirit, and through her, Jesus Christ, true God, second person of the Holy Trinity, entered this world, becoming also true man. So Mary does not create the divine Jesus, but Mary gives Jesus his humanity, and she gives birth to the divine person, Jesus, who is true God, true man. For that reason alone, we give her great honor. And she's given that title, Mother of God, dogmatically by the first council at Ephesus in the year 431. Be that as it may, something's even more important here. Because in the chronological sense, we have Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to the temple on the 8th day after his birth for that ritual of circumcision. So they go to Jerusalem to the temple. Joseph holds little baby Jesus. The priest is going to perform the ritual. Joseph gives him his name, Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves. But think of the importance here. Here they're in God's house, the temple. Within the core of the temple was the Holy of Holies, where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. Within that Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments, then the priestly staff of Aaron, and then also a little bit of the manna from that time of the Exodus event. So here is this ritual that is going to bring Jesus into that old covenant promise given to Abraham, but a promise that he's going to fulfill. Here, Jesus is, when we consider this, truly the fulfillment of what's in that Ark of the Covenant. He is the Word of God who became flesh, who fulfills all of the covenants. He is the true priest who's going to offer the sacrifice on the cross. He is the bread of life that has come down to heaven, and he will continue to nourish us through the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Here in this ritual of circumcision, his blood is spilt for the first time, a foreshadowing when he makes the new covenant through the shedding of his blood on the cross and seals that covenant with his resurrection, giving us the hope of everlasting life. Well, put all of that together. Who then, if Jesus is the true priest, the bread of life, the Word who became flesh, who fulfills all the commandments, who fulfills the ark? Mary. Mary does. Mary held Jesus in her womb. So in that very beautiful spiritual sense, truly she is worthy of that title, Mother of God. Someone we ought to honor, not only for being the mother, but that whole role she plays in salvation history. For us, though, we need to remember, too, that she's been given to us as our mother. When our Lord hung upon that cross, he looked down at the Apostle St. John, knowing that he had no one else to entrust his widowed mother to, and he said to St. John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." We've always seen that as Jesus giving to each of us his mother and giving to her each of us. So we look to her maternal care. In her life here on this earth, Mary always wanted to make Jesus known, whether, as we hear, presenting her to the little shepherds or to the Magi, wedding feast of Cana, wherever it may be, Mary wants to draw people closer to her son. So my brothers and sisters, as we begin a chronological new year, it's good to pause and reflect, but also maybe to make a good resolution. We've heard about resolutions, and I read in the paper today that only about 8% of people actually keep their resolutions. Most of these resolutions deal with things like losing weight or exercise, things like that. But let's make a spiritual resolution. So given that we're celebrating this beautiful feast day, and we aren't so much concerned about the chronological as we are the spiritual sense of time, and we are looking at a future life in heaven, let's make a spiritual resolution that we're going to pray better this year, each day. And I would encourage you to go one step further. Pray the rosary. Say the rosary, whether you say that individually or even better, as a family, each day. If maybe you have little ones, well, maybe only a decade of the rosary. But schedule it. Perhaps I would challenge you mothers, since you take on this role of Mary in your own home, and since moms seem to do a lot of the scheduling in a household routine, you be the one who makes sure your family gathers, perhaps after dinner, to say that rosary, to say that decade of the rosary. Yes, there's always going to be times when someone says, "I'm too busy," or someone says, "Oh, I really don't want to do that." Do it anyway, out of love. Just like any good resolution, if we think of exercise, who wants to exercise every day? No, easy to dismiss. But once we start dismissing it, easy to lose the resolution. So make that resolution, and by meditating on those different mysteries of the rosary, the joyous, the luminous, sorrowful, the glorious, as Pope John Paul II so beautifully said, we're looking upon the face of Christ through the eyes of Mary. Just as Mary treasured everything that happened in her heart, we'll be treasuring the life of our Lord in our heart. Just like simple shepherds came to adore our Lord, we, like little simple children, will be meditating on those mysteries. I guarantee you, though, that if that prayer is heartfelt, the Holy Spirit will bring us inspirations to help us not only grow in our faith, our love and friendship for our Lord, the Holy Spirit will also help us see in those mysteries our own lives. So whether we face this coming year, whether it's something wonderful and joyous, or whether we face some real challenges, even sufferings, if we're in that prayer each day and fostering that relationship with the Lord in union with our Blessed Mother, guaranteed, we'll know His presence, we'll know His love, and we will know we have a good shepherd who's going to be walking with us each day, whether it's a verdant pasture or it's a dark valley. The real key is, if we really make this resolution, we won't be simply thinking about past, future, present in that chronological sense. We'll be living in a spiritual presence, the presence of Christ Himself. So let us honor our Blessed Mother, but also ask her to help us to grow in holiness. Let us use that rosary this year to really grow in our relationship with the Lord, so that each day we will be living in the presence of Christ. May God bless you.